We continue today with lesson number 5 in our ongoing study of Mishnayos Maseches Shavuos. And today we begin the second perek. Until now we have been dealing basically with the restrictions against plowing in Tosefes Shavuos, plowing in the 6th year of the 7-year cycle, earlier than Shavuos, and the situations under which it is permissible to plow either until Atzeres, until Shavuos, or in certain conditions even permissible to plow right up until Rosh Hashanah. But the first perek was discussing trees, olive trees, grapevines, apple trees, pear trees, etc., or Ilone Srak, oak trees, cedar trees, etc. Now, in Perek Sheni, we're going on to discuss the plowing on the 6th year of a Steha Lovon, literally a white field, which could mean either, the word white can refer either to the fact this is a field of grain where there are no trees and hence no shade, so it looks white, exposed to the sunlight, or the grain itself is white-colored, so from a distance, the field looks white. But either, whatever case it is, we're talking here about the growth of other types of food as opposed to food which grows upon trees. We're speaking of a steha lovon, wheat fields, barley fields, and in certain cases, vegetable patches, etc. So the Mishnah asks, Ad emosai chorshin b'stei halovon erev shvitz. We learned with stei halov, stei ilon, you can plow in certain conditions up until Shavuos and certain conditions up until Rosh Hashanah. What about a stei halovon, a wheat field, a barley field? Until which point can you plow? Says the Mishnah, ad shetichla halecha, until there is no longer any more moisture in the field. In order to plow and then plant, there has to be some moisture in the field. Once there's no moisture in the field, if you're then plowing, you're obviously plowing not for the maintenance of the existing trees and fruits or crops, but rather you're plowing in order to prepare to plant for the 7th year or in the 7th year. So therefore, you can only plow until the time of Tichle Lecha, when the field is no longer moist. How do we measure this? Well, we know this. Kolzman shebnei odom chorshin lita bamikshaot uva midlaot. These are patches of gourds or melons of one type or another. And they were planted late spring, early summer. That's when the plowing and planting was done. And they grew during the course of the summer. So the plowing took place early on in the summer, which summer begins more or less around Pesach time. So but earlier than Shavuos. So Kol Zman, as long as people are plowing for these plants known as Mikshaot and Midlaot, we define Midlaot according to Professor Felix as being the calabash gourd, and Mikshaot as being a more generic type of gourd, squash, or melon. In any case, all of those things grow in the summer, and the plowing takes place in the Pesach time, more or less. So this, of course, is very subjective. You know, when exactly is there no longer moisture in the field? When exactly do you plow for Mikshaot or Midlaot? So Rav Shimon objects and says, Omer Rav Shimon, Nosata Torah kol echod v'echod biyodo. Instead of giving an objective time, like we did with reference to Steho Ilon, until Shavuos. All right, everybody knows when Shavuos is. Well, there can be disputes about that too, as we know. But in the Jewish calendar, we look in the calendar, we know where Shavuos is. But we don't know necessarily when Tichle Lecha. And some people say, my field is already Tichle Lecha. My field is not yet Tichle Lecha. I can plow, you can't plow, etc. So Shimon says, you can't have something so subjective where everybody has his own opinion, etc. Elo, When it comes to a white field, namely a wheat field, a barley field, etc., not a tree field, then you can plow up until Pesach. A field of trees, as we learned, Adat Seres, until Shavuos. In the Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi understands what we have here is a machloket between the Tanakama, not named, but the Yerushalmi names him as Rab Meir, and Rabbi Shimon. And according to the Yerushalmi, the Mishnah at the beginning of Amasechta, back in the first Perek, is speaking about a Steho Ilon and gives you opinion of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. That's Rab Meir's opinion. Because Rav Meir tells us, when it comes to a tree field, the Steho Ilon, the Tamachlokas, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, as we learned. When it comes to a Steho Lovon, it's until Tichla Lecha, which is a little bit after Pesach. Rav Shimon says no. Rav Shimon disagrees and says there's no Machlokas, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, not by a Steho Ilon, not by a Steho Lovon. Everyone agrees to objective criteria. Steho Lovon until Pesach, Steho Ilon until Atzeres. That's Mishnah number one. Mishnah number two takes us already beyond plowing to other types of work which are not permissible or are permissible during Tosefes Shviyos, during the latter months of the sixth year. And our Mishnah will list various avodos karka, various agricultural activities, either like plowing, which is an avodos karka, something you do to the ground, or some of these avodos, some of these activities have to do with things you do to the tree as opposed to the ground, where there is no isur of Tosefes Shviyos. You can do these activities all year of the sixth year. Why? Because during the seventh year, these activities are only prohibited midrabbanon, rabbinically, and are not prohibited min haTorah. So one rule to follow as we go through this Mishnayos is if we see that during the Tosefes Shviyos, during the sixth year, something is permitted, that means, yes, it's prohibited during the seventh year, but only midrabbanon. And there are great differences, especially nowadays, in our times, between those activities which are osur midrabbanon and those activities which are osur min haTorah. And we'll try to get into that to some extent, as is appropriate for the study of the Mishnah. We're not going to go into the halachic, halacha lemaisa, the relevant halachos for today's special conditions. So the Mishnah goes on and defines various activities which are permissible during the sixth year, which means min haTorah they're even permissible in the seventh year, but are prohibited min rabbanon in the seventh year. But let's stick to the sixth year. Mizablin. It's permitted to fertilize a field, which is an avodas karka, something you do to the ground, to the earth. It's permissible during shishis, during the sixth year. Uma adrin, and it's permissible to hoe, H-O-E, meaning to take a small instrument called a hoe and to dig up the ground around the roots of the mikshaot and midlaot, these fields of gourds, squash, melons, etc., which need to be worked during the late summer, during the late spring and summer, because that's their season. So it's permissible to be ma'ader, to hoe, miksha'os and midla'os, ad Rosh Hashanah. This is permissible all of the sixth year. Now, we have been distinguishing between two types of fields in terms of what grows on the fields. If apples grow on the field, it's called a stay ilon. If barley grows on the field, it's called a stay halovon. And we have the various differences which have already begun to surface. But there are also two types of fields in terms of the ways in which they are irrigated. Most fields in the times of Chazal, the times of the Mishnah and Gemara, were stei habal, were fields which were irrigated by the rain. If it rained, you had a crop. If it didn't rain, you were in trouble. However, there also were, under certain conditions, and more increasingly as history marched on, the history of agriculture, and more fields began to be called stei or beis hashilochin. that were irrigated through irrigation canals, through pipes, through ditches of various sorts containing water, or actually being watered with hoses nowadays, or with sprays and cans of water, etc., etc. The distinction is made between Beis HaBaal, a field which is irrigated by the master of the universe, so to speak, by rain, versus Beis HaShalochin, or as we said in the yeshiva, Beis HaShalchin, where the water was sent, was sprayed or directed through canals to irrigate the crops. So the Mishnah says, V'chein beveis hashalochin. The same thing is true in a field where the rainwater is not sufficient and it requires artificial irrigation. You can hoe in that field up until Rosh Hashanah because it's required for the survival of the existing crops. And it's not preparatory to something you're doing during Shemitah year. The Mishnah continues, Miyablin, it's permissible to do a process known as Liyabel, which means to take away the yabeles, certain growths that might have grown into the tree, and you want to excise these growths from the tree. You're allowed to do that in the sixth year. Miforkin, if you have a tree which has a lot of leaves, a lot of foliage, and you don't want so much of that foliage because it's weighing down the tree and perhaps using up some of the nutrients of the tree, which you would rather go to the fruits than to the leaves. So you're allowed to trim, to unload, to be mefarek, to unload from the tree these weighty foliage leaves, mefarkin. Ma'avkin is a process by which you take earth and smear it onto the roots of the tree, which have become exposed, and you don't want them exposed to the elements. You kind of smear them over with mud. That's ma'avkin. And ma'ashnin, you want to get rid of various insects and other pests, so you light a fire around the tree in such a way that smoke comes up and the smoke gets rid of the worms and these various insects that you want to eliminate. These procedures, miyablin, miforkin, ma'apkin, ma'ashnin, can be done ad Rosh Hashanah, right up until the end of the sixth year. Because again, these avodos, and these last, whereas Misavlin and Ma'adrin were avodas hakarka, what types of work that you do to the earth, hoeing it or fertilizing it. Miyablin, Mefarkin, Ma'afkin, Ma'ashnin are four types of work which are avodas ilan, which are done to the tree itself. And these are only prohibited even during Shemitah, only midivrei sofer midrabbanon. So therefore, on Erev Shemitah, they are not prohibited at all, and you can do them right up until the end of the sixth year, until Rosh Hashanah. Now the Mishnah concludes with a statement of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Af notel hu es heole min ho eshkol bashvius. Various ways of understanding this, but one way is, we just learned meforkin, that you can remove leaves if they're interfering with the growth of your fruit during the sixth year. But during the seventh year, it would seem, you can't remove leaves from the tree for those reasons. However, Rav Shimon says clearly that even on Shemitah itself, in the Shviyas year itself, you can remove a leaf which is covering over an eshkol. You have a bunch of grapes growing, and all on top of that bunch of grapes is a leaf which is blocking the sunlight from reaching the grapes. You can trim off that leaf even in the seventh year, let alone in the sixth year. So says Rabbi Shimon. It's again, according to Rabbi Shimon and the pshat that I'm following now, which is the pshat of many Rishonim, it's permissible to remove the leaf which is blocking the eshkol, the bunch of grapes, even during Shemitah itself. Because the Tanakama, as opposed to Rav Shimon, holds that you can only be mefarek olim, you can only remove leaves from a tree in the interests of stimulating the growth of the fruits on Erev Shemitah. Rav Shimon disagrees and says, no, even in Shemitah itself, it's permissible to remove the leaf if the leaf is interfering with the growth of the existing fruit. This is the opinion of the Rambam, the Rash, the Bartanura, etc. And the Mefarshim say, the later Mefarshim, Tiferes Yisrael, say that that's because removing this leaf is not improving the tree. Rather, it is protecting the grapes. And it's guarding against the grapes becoming dried out, stunted in their growth because they have no access to the sunlight. This is Rav Shimon's opinion. In this analysis, the halacha would not be like Rabbi Shimon. It's interesting that the Vilna Gaon explains that there is no machlokas here. The other Rishonim, the earlier Rishonim, say it's a machlokas. Rabbi Shimon is very lenient. But the Vilna Gaon says that Rabbi Shimon is not disagreeing with the Tanna Kamma. He's speaking not of just leaves growing. You have a big apple tree and there's leaves there and there's apples. You want the apples to be juicier, so you remove some of the leaves. No. Here we're talking about a leaf which is directly blocking the sunlight of a bunch of grapes. It's really close to the bunch of grapes. And it is destroying the grapes. It is a mazik. So you're removing the mazik. You're removing the hazard, so to speak. You're protecting the eshkol. This would be permissible, argues Rav Shimon, and he's not disagreeing with Tanna Kamma. And therefore the halacha would be, according to the Vilna Gaon, that this would be indeed permissible. Anyway, we have now concluded the second Mishnah of the second Perek. The process have concluded lesson number 5.